Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
There's a drive to deep right. That ball is crushed. Look out in the Allegheny.
I mean, devastation of a baseball, of a game. Trajectory changing for two franchises. That's what that Kyle Schwarber home run was, as heard on TBS. Ernie Johnson with the call. I love the genuine, oh my God, that baseball was obliterated right there. So I'm glad we got to hear that. Look, Pat Hughes has the call of record, and we heard that already. That's the best call, but I like hearing the national guys because they don't know it the way we know it, and they finally got to see it the way we were seeing it. And as a matter of fact, Pat Hughes and I were on the same page last night. Of course, when he's in Pittsburgh, he thinks about what is going on with Kyle Schwarber. And here he was as I was listening to Cubs radio last night here on The Score.
Thinking about the Allegheny River, I remember a home run that Kyle Schwarber hit in a playoff game, the wild card playoff game between the Cubs and Pirates. It came against Gerrit Cole here at the end of the 2015 season. After that splashdown that reached the Allegheny on the fly, it was one of the very first few ever at that time that landed there in the drink on the fly. But every year I would see him at the Cubs convention, and as I would introduce him, he would come up and be on stage right near me, and I would say, "How you doing, Allegheny?" And he knew exactly what I was talking about.
Absolutely.
And something told me he enjoyed being reminded of the Allegheny. Who wouldn't?
I enjoy just hearing it now. And I didn't hit it.
What a great moment.
What a great moment and what a great memory from Pat, because he wasn't the only one. Even on the marquee broadcast, Alex Cohen and Jim DeShays were talking about remembering 2015. And I don't know why we all had the same collective sports thought at the same time, because I was thinking about it prior to them saying it when I was watching the game last night. And maybe it's the beauty of the atmosphere and the Cubs being at the level they're at right now, where you do want some other teams to have that same mutual competition, because it does make you better.
The fact that the Cubs are winning right now, they've won 60% of the games at 18-12, it lends to the idea that more of that is possible. And I think that's why, specifically right now, that takes you to a certain mindset and a certain place mentally, watching the Cubs hit the Pirates over the head with 9 runs in a perfect shutout. That, as we said off the top of the show, this was textbook win. You play a bad team, you beat them down.
You didn't even strike out. Not a strikeout.
Zero.
But that is what, when we talked about how difficult their schedule was through the month of April, hey, guess what, guys? Last day of April. That's behind us now. We don't have to talk about that anymore. We could talk about it through the reference and the frame of that was a really tough start to the schedule and they got through it. But now it's like they've got regular teams and bad teams and they'll still have to play good teams. I know the Mets are looming, the team with the best record. But overall, you have to feel so good about where the Cubs and specifically their offense is right now that you're thinking about more moonshots into the Allegheny. Kyle Tucker, go ahead. Knock yourself out. Michael Bush, if you want to take one. Pete Crow Armstrong, I know you can go deep. I know you got power to all fields. Hit one into the river.
Against a lefty.
Put in the drink.
It's like Cliff Floyd telling Lawrence Holmes that he was trying to hit the lights at Homewood Flossmoor.
Go for it.
You got to start somewhere. You aim high.
Hey, and then the bigger, even bigger part of all of this, just to add to what Marshall said, is maybe we're seeing it again right now with the Cubs, but where the hell has it been for the last four years? I understand, like, life moves fast, and regimes succeed, and then they break up. But guess what has been inexcusable? And I'll allow a little bit of room for the pandemic, but where'd it go for the last 4 years? Why have the Cubs been in the playoffs for the last 4 years after they had set a new precedent for their fans starting in 2015? The fans continue to act accordingly, but the front office has not.
I will never forget listening to Buster Olney talk about, on his podcast, the fact that the Cubs were a team that was built to have a sustained playoff run, similar in the vein of the Astros. Yes, 3 straight NLCSs. Pales in comparison to the team that I talked about who's going to play the White Sox with 7. But the point is, it can be done. You know, and when you consider that everything that we all went through only resulted in the same amount of World Series over that span as the Nationals taking it out of the wild card 2 years later.
I don't have a problem with the Cubs not winning multiple World Series. I get it. It's really hard. The era was not a failure. The Cubs won a World Series, okay? And I did say greed is good, so I a little bit of a hypocrite on that. But what I would have liked, though, is just the opportunity to have the proverbial bite at the apple. And they stopped having that. Shame on the Cubs for that part.
Well, and we knew it when we saw it. Look at how the Phillies value Kyle Schwarber. And it's not necessarily in regular season production. It is in playoff production, in clutch moment production, which is, you can't quantify. Like, that is a very difficult thing to discuss. Playoff war, sure, you can try to do it that way. Playoff runs, weighted runs created plus, maybe. But when they decided to trade away Yu Darvish...
That there's no excuse for that one.
When they decided to... And here's the issue with that. We should be talking about those prospects outside of just Owen Casey now. You know, that's the part of this that's frustrating. That was the last time I was the full-time host on the Midday Show. You know?
Yeah.
And then, addition to that, letting Kyle Schwarber walk. There's two huge answers as to how you continue to make this sustainable.
I have to say, at the time that they let Kyle Schwarber walk, it felt like it was time. Now, we were all wrong about that, but the whole approach at the plate for the Cubs had gotten plain bad, and that included Kyle Schwarber. Did they make a mistake in retrospect? Absolutely. But I was definitely one of the people that said, yeah. And, you know, Schwarber was maybe the best player throughout that run, some of the biggest hits ever. We've been talking about it. But at the time, it did feel like it was there needed to be some – not everybody could be swinging, because the concept of the Cubs then was hit the ball over the wall, right? Get as many thumpers – have Kyle Schwarber lead off. I'll never forget going into the Pirates locker room for a game, just like a random Saturday game, looking up at the lineup, Kyle Schwarber's hitting leadoff. We all laughed. Like, it was like this funny thing, and now we see that. I think Joe Maddon like sort of started that concept of having your power guy start off a game, but – it all faded away. They weren't hitting. They were striking out more. There was no contact. That was the problem. And then they sort of overcorrected for a couple of years to where it was contact, but not the right kind of contact.
Yeah, the threat of power is imminent. That on good teams, on playoff teams, on contenders, you have to have guys who strike fear into opposing managers, starting pitchers, bullpen, whoever. There's got to be certain spots. And the Cubs have that right now. Right, they have guys when they step up, and you see Kyle Tucker followed by Seiya Suzuki, followed by Michael Bush, or even Carson Kelly at this point. PCA, there are guys who, you know, if you make a mistake, they can hit it over the wall.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the prototypical person was like 2004 David Ortiz. Yeah, where he walks up and you're like, oh hell, panic! Whatever you've done in the inning, just panic.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you knew, and that is the feeling you want. You know, you want to have that player. But here's the issue I have: is at the time, I understand that the Cubs had a payroll that was largely affected by attendance. We didn't know how long this was going to last. I understand all of that, but you also knew you were going to play baseball. You know, and that's the other side of this. Kyle Schwarber could have been a discounted, but or maybe he doesn't. Maybe the change of scenery, because Theo is such a believer in this. You know, maybe that's what has vaunted him to where he's at right now.
Yeah, he needed a change of scenery.
I mean, perhaps
the numbers bear that out.
He did
though.
At the time. Yeah.
But when you consider what the loss meant and how it wasn't responded to in kind. And they tried to a little bit with Jock Peterson. Peterson ends up getting traded,
yeah.
Helps the Braves win the World Series. You know, like that piece of it matters too in all of this, because the plan was not committed to in a way. So then, you know, that's the time where you look back at it. You know, it is the time where you talk about the prospects who should be online right now out of a transaction like that had that much meaning.
But they've got the contact back. It seems like every ball the Cubs hit right now is a hard hit ball. So they actually have, like, Jed Hoyer has going on right now what he and Theo imagined or reimagined starting in 2018, where let's get the contact, but it's taken a little bit too long to get to this point. Let's hope that this is some form of sustained success that we're seeing.
The lineup is lining up, and they're hitting the ball hard, and more importantly, they're not striking out.
I mean,
zero?
To have a game,
how many did they have last
to
night?
To have
zero.
A game zero. Without a single strikeout in the year of our Lord 2025 is truly some sort of baseball miracle.
Oh, the Lord.